Welcome to the Arts and Antique Radio Show, where your host, nationally recognized certified appraiser Elizabeth Stewart, Santa Barbara's treasure sleuth, will help you put a value on the treasures in your own home.
Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
So let's find out. How valuable is it?
Hello, 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 Santa Barbara. It's your chantress of everything valuable and beautiful, Elizabeth Stewart. My friend Eddie Tadhuri is with me today because he wrote a book, and it's a fantastic read. I was up all night reading this. You can't put it down. It's called Fat Back, Life in the Pocket. And you might wonder what that means. We'll get into that, but just very quickly, fatback means fat round notes, backbeats played consistently behind the beat, and notes that let the pocket breathe, that pocket, that slice of time, and make that slice of time more emotional, deeper, and definable. And Eddie writes in his prologue that that pocket is the way that the music moves us and the music itself. So it's the space between, which I never really thought about. And so Eddie's with us, and I just want to just introduce Eddie just a quick minute, and then I want to get into the book itself. But you may have heard Eddie before in my program because he is the founder of the Rhythmic Arts Project, which is TREP. And what is that? Well, it teaches confidence, basically, in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. It teaches confidence to folks with intellectual and developmental differences by using rhythm. And Eddie's career as a drummer is behind this all. And I found it was interesting. I was trying to prepare for this. I found an interview of Eddie on the Sessions panel, a panel, very important panel called Legend Series. And it chronicles the life and experiences of legendary musicians on YouTube. And then I also read a really influential interview in the New York Times about Eddie shortly after his accident. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then just a little bit of background. Eddie's a famous musician. He is known for playing with the Eagles, Dwight Yoakam. When I moved to Santa Barbara himself, Eddie was a drumming at the Rehabilitation Institute of Santa Barbara and kind of was starting his career as the Rhythmic Arts Project founder. We just want to just quickly say in 1997, an accident body surfing left him paralyzed, broken neck, paralyzed in arms and legs. He prepared at the hospital for a life in a wheelchair, but as he was being told that, he asked for his drumsticks. Because he's been a studio musician for 40 years. And, you know, he recovered. His long road to recovery took him to a deeper understanding of human spirituality and the regenerative power of music. And, I can go on and I will in a minute. But I first want to say, Eddie, thank you for coming. And thank you for writing this book, Fatback, A Life in the Pocket. Fantastic read. Fantastic. And by the way, over 70 photos, famous and non-famous. It's just fantastic. Go ahead, Eddie. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you, Elizabeth. It's always a joy, a pleasure to be with you. I love these interviews. I would never have called myself famous, but that's the point of that book in a way, in that. You asked me to read some things from the book, and my publisher asked me to write something about the book because I wasn't famous. He didn't really know me, right? And he said, you know, we need to get to know you, and what is your take on the book? So I wrote about the only place where I would consider myself a household name would be in the doghouse. So having said that, allow me to introduce myself. I'm Eddie Tadhuri. Fat Back, Life in the Pocket is a lifetime full of notes and bits and pieces of the bizarre, idiosyncratic life of a sideman in the business of drumming for a living. Many of my friends, most in fact, are worker bees in this business of music, including me. We are not stars for all intents and purposes. We are not household names, nor do we live in those houses on the hill unless our financial status came from elsewhere. The likelihood of most of us becoming famous, rich, or celebrated beyond the realm of our fellow players, families, friends, and local supporters is slim, regardless of musical prowess, talent, or tireless determination. Most will never get that kind of recompense and compensation afforded by our Hall of Fame friends. They too have worked hard to achieve that status, but the element of time, place, and luck always plays a significant role. And the path is only sometimes paved in gold. In my estimation, true success in the music business is that we might pay the rent, raise our families, own a small house, or at the very least, a comfortable couch, or in my case, a massage chair. Kidding aside, it's an honorable, satisfying life with many rewards, rewards beyond the trappings of the clam bake in Hollywood and other musical hotbeds. So what is success? It is exceedingly different from being famous. And so for myself and my worker bee friends, success is having lived an exciting, musical, howl at the moon life and love fest in pop, funk, and rock and roll. May you find your own life in the pocket.
And that's from the book itself. Mm-hmm. That's Eddie reading from his book, Fatback. And I want to just say that there's a very interesting foreword by David Garibaldi. Who is David Garibaldi? He was a drummer for Tower of Power. And I saw them probably back in 73 or so in Boston in college. I can't believe it. Seems like life goes so fast. But David is a personal friend of Eddie's, and he wrote the foreword to the book. And I just want to read a few paragraphs. I've known Eddie for many years, David writes. We met in 1972 in Minneapolis. I was with Tower of Power and he was with Bobby Whitlock. We became friends and have remained to this day. I used to go to his place in the San Fernando Valley and hang out with him and his dog, Bach. He's a great man. And this book is a dive into a great groundbreaking time in music. He tells us about his musical roots, his journey as a drummer, making a living, having nothing, making friends, enemies, love life, crazy band experiences, problems with alcohol, sobriety. The thing that stands out for me is how well he articulates his thoughts and remembrances into a beautifully truthful story about his life. He's been a sideman for some of the most famous people in the music industry, has been a headliner and a business owner and a band leader. He pulls no punches and tells a story. This is the Eddie I know. He's a real person who owns his life. The story of his accident, his recovery, how it led to the Rhythmic Arts Project, and how this has become his driving force is truly inspiring. I could go on, but I'd spoil an incredible read. And he writes, Brother Eddie, may God continue to bless you and the works of your hands. So sending you love and cherishing our friendship. And it's signed David Garibaldi from Livermore, California, the drummer for Tower of Power. Eddie was telling me before the show began how important David was to him and the sound of Tower of Power, always his favorite band. Eddie, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about this title, Fatback, what it actually is.
You know, it's funny. I had a good friend who was considering being an editor when I was writing the book, a great man that I met in the field of developmental differences. And he got to that chapter and he called me up and he said, what exactly do you have to do with pork ribs? I said, well, that's why I had to put that explanation of what fatback means in the book. Because, of course, if you're not a drummer or musician, especially in the field of rhythm and blues or blues, fatback would have no meaning to you. It really is a style of music that, you know, I would say that the people I listened to originally when I was a kid, like Bernard Purdy and some of the guys in New Orleans who played this certain style of music, were just laying it down. They say there's a lot of terminology, but fatback is playing way behind the beat, like you explained. So it's giving the music a chance to breathe. It's giving that space between the notes a place to move us. It's really the to me, it's the spiritual aspect of the groove. It gives us a chance to breathe, to feel the music, and the music, it's not really the notes, it's the space between the notes that moves us. So it's hard to explain in one respect, but if you listen to some of the music that we have in the book, which is amazing, this digital book format is really cool. When I first heard that I got this deal and it was digital, I didn't know what to expect. But you can put all the like, there's over 70 photos, and you know, there's I think 12 clips from various concerts and music and bands I've been involved in. So for me, it's a great format. Of course, I'd like to have a book, and maybe one day I will print the book, you know. And I'm even going to, you know, Tracy Lehrer and her husband Mike want to record me making the audible copy. So we're actually going to do that as well. But
I think Eddie, I think that's a fantastic idea. That I think it's the audio book. And I got to say, Richard will weigh in on this because he has been in that profession for many, many years, doing the audiobooks himself and knows a lot about audiobooks. And Richard, he's giving me a sign. We got to go to quick break, but just weigh in real fast, Richard.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, it's something that I've been doing long before Audible was Audible. Because I was recording back in the early 80s. One of my first books was The Greatest Miracle in the World by the late Og Mandino, who I did get not only to meet, but to interview. But I have to tell you, I'm in the middle right now of a book, and it is interesting because of the precision that I work towards, but also I get to read somebody's book. I get to, you know, because I don't have a lot of time to read a lot of people's books, but I do produce them. I have people come in for a 2-hour session, no more than 2 hours, because you don't want to strain the voice, and it does get tiring. And then I go to town and edit them, because I've got a script or the what have you, and it's a fascinating process to go through. I've actually been listening very closely to Audibles that I'm a member of.
You mean, too, I have 87 titles.
Well, you know, you got to start with number one and work your way up. I just gained another client just recently. We're going to start sometime in late August recording her book, but she's going to read it, not me. I can do either one. I can read it or they can read it, either way, whichever they prefer. 2 hours of recording, then we call it, and then I will go to town and take care of that particular set of files. Yeah. And it is a fun process. It can be. But I've noticed, Elizabeth, this is what was real interesting. I was talking with another narrator, and I was saying, you know, that she does the same thing as I do. She will read it and edit it herself. And I say, well, I take out all the breath. She's, oh, no, I don't do that. I don't take them all out. I leave some of them in. And I'm listening to Audible for that very thing, the breaths. And I would say 80 to 90% of the books that I am listening to, there are no breaths, but the pacing is still there. It's still normal. you know, that kind of thing. So, because
so
I think,
interesting. Yeah. You're saying that because Eddie was talking about music being the spaces between.
Between the notes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah. And I was actually back in the late 70s. I went to this metaphysical church in Phoenix, and we were driving home in a van. And I, for some reason, I just started singing this song to myself more than anything else. And this one gal sitting next to me, she after I was done, she said, "Well, that was beautiful, but why don't you allow the spaces there?" Because I was kind of elongating the last note and so forth, and then moving right into the next one. She says, "It's the spaces that make the music, music." Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with the spoken word. You don't want run-on sentences. It's just a, to me, it's just an incredibly, it's a fun process, because not only do I get to do that kind of work, but I also get to read someone else's book, whether I'm reading it or someone else is. I get to go into their world. I get to go in, whether it's a novel, whether it's nonfiction. I did a children's book, and we added music, and I did add some of the sound effects. This is another place where you've got to let the imagination take over. So I put in some of the sound effects, but not all of them. And I got to tell you, that one was like grandma talking and telling a story to the kids. It was wonderful that she came down and did that. So there you go. That's the long of it.
Let's go to a quick break.
Yes.
Get back from the break. I've got a little more to ask Eddie about his book. And just reintroducing Fatback, Life in the Pocket by Eddie Tadhuri. A lifetime full of notes and bits and pieces of the bizarre, the idiosyncratic life of a sideman in the music business of drumming for a living. And the book is a fantastic read. And it's an ebook. So Eddie's illustrated it with 70 plus photos and some videos. And you get to start by seeing a little bit of Eddie's background. And that is so cool, because you get to see how he started. And we'll talk a little bit about Cannibal and the Headhunters. That is his band, his at 16. I mean, you know, it's so interesting. Don't turn that down. Back with Eddie Tadhuri and Fatback in a minute. I'm talking with Eddie Tadhuri. His new book, Fatback, Life in the Pocket, two musical terms, Fatback being the drumming style that Eddie admired and was a proponent of and drummed that way for 40 years or so. And this book is about life in the pocket. What's the pocket? It's the space between. And I think it's so interesting Eddie picked that for a title, because the space between, you know, between what? Between notes, between words, between ways of living, between disciplines, between what we love and what we follow. And, you know, this book is about that, really. The space between, and Eddie's talked in the book about many of the spaces that he's lived in between. And then people at the end of the, if you go out to Hudson Music, by the way, you can see a lot of the reviews, and people have weighed in on the book. Some very famous people, actually, there's Michael McDonald, who says, our friend Eddie Tadhuri's story turns tragedy into triumph. after years as a successful musician in Los Angeles, he met with a physical disaster, began a long and arduous journey back to his career. A new chapter in his life started, however, with ever-widening horizon of opportunity to make a difference in so many other lives. The miracle of his positive influence on others reaches around the globe today with founder of the Rhythmic Arts Project, the TRAP Project, which is, as I said, teaching confidence to people with disabilities through drumming. His story is humorous and a story of perseverance and triumph. And I just want to say, Eddie at 12 started to play weddings. And at the age of 14, he recorded his first record. He was raised in a musical home and his father played violin, banjo, and drums. At 16, he toured with Cannibal and the Headhunters, the Land of a Thousand Dances. Then he toured with Bobby Whitlock, who sang Derek and the Dominoes, if you're familiar with Layla, 1970s. And Eddie was asked to tour with him in Europe. He is a drummer on 40 Gold Records and songs. Songs that you might know, Give Me the Beat Drift Away. He toured with the Beach Boys. He played with Rick Nelson. He toured with the Eagles, Bonnie Raitt, Linda Ronstadt, launched Musicians for UNICEF in 1985, did 15 benefit concerts. He linked with Jim Messina in Montecito here and fell in love with our area and moved here. Mm-hmm. And I have to do a shout out. There's a new show coming up in Los Angeles, August 26th. It's called Fantastic Humans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Andrea Westmeyer is producing this, and it's at the Harmony Gold Theater on Sunset Boulevard. And they're going to be talking about Eddie. And it's a benefit for TRAP, for the project we're talking about, the Rhythmic Arts Project. And this is called, wait for it, Rubbing Shoulders with Angels. And we're going to talk about Eddie's life. And I hope the book, I actually hope that that Robin talks about, Andrea talks about the book. Eddie, I want you to tell me a little bit about the dedication. In the book, you dedicate the book to Robin Flantz. And
My mom and dad and my sister.
And then you recognize Robin.
Robin Flantz, the book came about because I was on a podcast last Christmas with a bunch of really famous drummers, not like me, these guys, like Garibaldi, Greg Bissonette, Tristan Bowden, Steve Gadd. It was a cavalcade of stars. And we were just talking and telling stories and you know, wishing everyone happy holidays. And Robin was on that panel. She's a drummer's journalist, a wonderful writer. She wrote the definitive book on Jeff Beccaro called It's About Time. So all this conversation was happening, and it came up that I had written some stories, and they thought it, they thought it was a book. I never really intended to, I didn't look for a book deal or intend to put a book out. I just wanted to put all these stories together, basically for my family and friends. And what happened was Robin, we talked about that for a minute, and they said, well, what's the name of it? And when I said to 10 really famous drummers, when I said life in the, a Fatback, Life in the Pocket, they all went, oh, like that was the best name they could think of for a book. Of course, it only made sense to us as drummers, knowing what that really means. So, but the next day, Robin called me and said, Eddie, I want to read that book. I said, it isn't a book. She said, listen, I want you to send me the book. I said, I'll send you a couple of chapters. she said, no, you can't do that. I want the whole book.
Uh-huh.
She said, I want the whole effing book. And I said, okay. And I kind of haphazardly threw it together and sent it to her. And then I didn't hear from her for maybe 3 or 4 days, you know, and I thought, you know, this is very nice of her to take the time, but just don't worry. I'm not looking at, they're just stories for my friends. So I called up and said, thank you. You know, I left a message. Thank you. You don't need to put any more time in this. I know how busy you are. She called back. She said, I'm enjoying this, and hung up. And about 4 or 5 days later, I called again. And I said, that's enough, Robin. Yeah, I love you. You're my one of my best friends, but you don't have to read this anymore. And then she went off. I love this book. Blah, 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 blah. And then she, you know, she called Rob Wallace, the number one publisher for drummers in the world. Any drummer who is worth his weight, who has a book, has contacted Rob and Hudson Music. So a few weeks later, Rob called me. He said, we want to offer you a deal. I said, really? I can't believe that, you know. And I never considered myself anybody who would, they would even consider for such a thing, but he did. And it was because of Robin. And yeah, so I do, she's the, I said the, you have to put her first in the book. She means that much to me as a friend, as a person, as a human being. She's charitable. She's a great writer. Everybody loves Robin Plant. Everybody. When I got hurt, when I woke up in the rehab after they had shipped me there from the ICU, I opened my eyes. I was totally paralyzed from the neck down. I opened my eyes, and Robin and Vinny Colaiuto were at the end of my bed. They had driven up from Los Angeles, just waited there until I woke up. So she's very special to me, really special.
You know, when we get back from the break, Richard's giving us a quick break signal there. Eddie, we'll get back from the break. I know that last night I asked if you could pick a few passages from the book that you could read. And yeah. I wonder if you would honor us by doing that. And I just want to reintroduce, I know Eddie from the Rhythmic Arts Project and the work he does with disabled folks, teaching them how to communicate with rhythm. That's how I know Eddie. But this is a new chapter in his life, literally. It's a book that he's written called Fatback, Life in the Pocket. And if you've ever wondered what it's like to be a sideman, a touring musician playing for various bands, famous bands throughout his life, what if you've ever wondered what that was like in a really interesting era? So, you know, starting in the 70s, 1970s actually, and going through this tumultuous time in the music industry, gosh, and people, the way that they handled themselves in the music industry, it's all in this book. And you can get this at Hudson Music. If you go onto Hudson Music website, it is an ebook on that website. And what's so cool about this is that Eddie's thrown videos of the bands he's played in. He's 70 plus photos dating back to the turn of the century, documenting his family. And it's just wonderful because you can actually see what's happening as you're reading the book. Back in a minute with Eddie Tadhuri. Don't turn that down. That's Life in the Pocket.
Na na na.
It's Elizabeth Sturt. I'm speaking with Eddie Tadhuri about his new book, Fatback, Life in the Pocket. Now, just a very quick note about what this is all about. In the prologue to the book, Eddie writes, I woke after 6.5 hour operation, totally paralyzed from the neck down, and the thought did occur, what will I do now? I've only ever played drums, my only bankable skill in life. The first emotion that came over me was, oh, I'm glad that's over with. Not my drumming, he writes, but he was glad the music business was finished. After 40 years of being absorbed in the affair of drumming, it all ended, and including the music business, it came to a complete stop. Life as I knew it was over. I was surprised. I was not surprised that I was cool with it all and looking forward to what was coming next. I thought I'd recover completely. I had no doubt. We'll get to that later. But to look back when I only ever played drums, let's take a stroll down this fatback and rabbit hole called the pocket. Fatback means fat rounded notes, backbeats played consistently behind the beat, notes that let the pocket breathe and make it emotional, deeper, definable, the space that moves us and it moves the music. That fatback feel has been the strength of my drumming, certainly not my technique or musical prowess. As a player, I've stepped out on a limb many times, but that one redeemable quality has always endured, which is the pocket. I want to think my life is much the same way. Despite the craziness, the inconsistencies, the good, the bad, and the ugly, it's felt pretty good overall. And Eddie, I wonder if you'd read us a few passages from your book.
Sure. There are a lot of, there are so many lessons for me in the book, and I tried to express them. You know, if we start right out with the bearing it all, there is a chapter about drugs. There's a chapter called Me on Drugs. And like a lot of people in that era, I got really caught up in that for a number of years. Here it is. I didn't write the whole thing, but I've alluded to the truth about my drinking and drug abuse. I'm unapologetic in my addictions, save the necessary and healing amends. I don't dwell nor shut the door on my past. I'm up, I'm down, I'm sideways, and oops, I'm dead. Sounds like a punk tune. I thought I was destined for a life of meaningless body debauchery with the moral standards of a wet mop. Drugs are a complicated issue to address without sounding like every MTV Behind the Music episode on the subject. I'll spare you the gratuitous, salacious bits and report all that is relevant and worthwhile. Booze doesn't care who you own because it owns you. It doesn't care who you are. It can redefine that too. It's as hideous a disease as any and leaves you with only a few choices: death, insanity, or recovery. Alcoholism permeates every waking moment. Sober is not a temporary state of mind. If you have a problem, if you've had a problem with alcohol or substance abuse, and you've managed to abstain for a considerable time, and in doing so have striven to understand the problem, then you'd have a better, then you're better able to grasp my meaning. In any case, sobriety is a way of life. Quitting drinking and using without examining why we drank and used drugs seriously hinders our chances of lasting success. Getting high was my way of life for a very long time. I certainly wasn't a lone ranger in my endeavor to void, be void of my immediate frontal lobe. Most everyone I know had a Jones for one thing or another. From creativity to diversion, the quest had many facets. As far back as I can remember, musicians had that stigma attached. If it wasn't reefer or cocaine, it was heroin, pills, or booze. The commonality being it was always too much.
Interesting. So you alluded to the fact that David Garibaldi always walked the straight and narrow, but did you lose many friends to this addiction?
Oh, yeah. You have... One of the things, when you get, so I've been sober 38 years now. And one of the things, the first things you learn is that you need to let go. When you stop drinking and using, you need to let go of those folks that you drank and used with. You don't have to forget about them entirely, but you really can't hang with them anymore because they're going to get high. Or they're going to go out drinking and they're going to get, they're going to be that in that frame. So you don't necessarily lose friends, but you change your friendships. You change the places you go, the things you do, the attitude. And so much has to change in order for you to be successful in sobriety. I mean, I owe my sobriety to AA. I went for many years, every day, as they suggested. I have the same sponsor now that I had 38 years ago.
Really?
Good friends. I don't think he'd mind if I told you. He was the lead singer in Steely Dan back in the day. He sang, "I Don't Want to Do Your Dirty Work." His name's David Palmer.
Right. Okay. Now, did he read your book?
I don't think he read the book yet. I talked to him the other day. He said, "I'm a terrible friend. I haven't read it yet."
Richard's giving us a sign. We got to go to quick break. Just quick reintroduction. I'm speaking with Eddie Tajuri, and we know him in our area as the founder of the Rhythmic Arts Project. And, you know, there is a performance every year at the Libero where Eddie's kids get to perform with very, very well-known musicians that come out and support Eddie. And I always try to cover that when Eddie gets his groups of wonderful musicians together and they celebrate together by playing, and the kids play with them. This is how we know Eddie, but there's another side of Eddie that we're discovering, and that's through his book. He was convinced to write a book about his long career as a sideman in the drumming world, in the music business. And various people that have reviewed the book are saying, you know, gosh, that it's such a telling tale because music business tends to eat people up. And Eddie's described it in such a beautiful way. It's called Fatback, Life in the Pocket, available on Hudson Music website as an ebook. Don't turn that down. Back with Eddie in just a minute. Touching everybody. Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm speaking with Eddie Tajuri about his new book, Fatback, Life in the Pocket. I found it really interesting that in the preface, he says something that hit home with me, and I don't know if anybody's ever been in a situation, maybe a relationship, for example, where, you know, you've done things that you don't really like about yourself, and you feel somehow that maybe the other person was at fault, or you're being made to do something that anyway, it's, I love this sentence in the preface. Eddie writes, I realize I'm not the wreckage of my past, the mistakes I've made, the pain I've suffered, or the fibs I've told. Mm-hmm. And importantly, this I think is what I really want to treasure. He writes, I'm forgiven most times. What grace is there that you've been forgiven, Eddie? I'm forgiven most times. And more importantly, I've forgiven myself. Mm-hmm. And he talks about writing this book because he's written it over a number of years. And you know how you go through times in your life where you're very bitter about something and you're voicing that bitterness in your words. And then you read it back and you say, oh, you know, I've learned from that. And so... Eddie, I wonder if you'd reflect on that for us in writing the book. How long did it take you to do, and what are you referencing when you're talking about some stories are told with a different heart and mind from another time with another attitude?
Yeah, in a nutshell, I've been taking notes of all the tours I did over the years. I always write. I'm writing all. You know, you reviewed my first book about. The Rhythmic Arts Project. But I've always been writing. I write everything for the Rhythmic Arts Project, and I speak. So I had notes about a lot of that stuff. And back in the day when I was out there with everybody else, we were all a little bit crazy in the 70s and 80s before I stopped drinking and using. And there were people that made me very angry, some of the people I worked with. And I wrote about that in the book, and I wrote about what sort of people they were. But in the initial notes, my anger and bitterness were more prevalent in the writing. So when the pandemic happened, I actually took a lot of those notes out from under my couch where I'd stuffed a whole bunch of paperwork and took it out. And I said, you know, I can work on this. I can make it better. I can make it less bitter. This anger and bitterness came from many, many years ago, you know, and it was fresh after those tours, having dealt with those sort of people. So I told the absolute truth in the book about how those situations unfolded, and I tried to be as kind as possible, but also as truthful. And the reason is, you know, I asked Robin Flans about that. I said, Robin, is it okay to, you know, talk about these things? She said, absolutely, if it's the truth. And then I thought, you know, I don't want to ever slight the truth in my stories. And the idea that I would tell that story any other way would slight the other people that experienced that same story, the other people that were there. They're going to read the book and say, yeah, man, that's how it happened. So that's the way I tried to write the whole book about how it happened. And I tried to be as kind as possible, but I always told the truth.
Just a quick question, because we don't have too long, but did you write about a celebrity, for example, that a story in the book that perhaps has never been told about this person?
The people I wrote about, it's commonly known their attitude and their humanity or lack thereof is very well documented.
And Eddie, will you tell us just one more time before we have to go and access the book?
Hudson Music is a New York book publisher, mostly drummers. And Rob Wallace is the publisher, and Mike Hoff. And they are an incredible team. HudsonMusic.com will get you there. And when it comes up, you'll see a bunch of books. Just put in the search either Eddie Tajuri or Fatback, life in the pocket, and it'll come up. Then you follow the bouncing ball and read directions, and then you get to put that book in your own bookshelf. It's a very different way to do things, digital.
I love it. I love it. Hutz Music. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you.